We're learning about our identity in Christ, who we are. And, you know, when we see Jesus, we're looking at the example and the model, amen, of what our lives are supposed to look like. How many here would be honest today and say, you know what, my life really looks like Jesus? How many would agree with me today that my life needs some improvement? Yeah. Amen? That there's still some work to be done, amen, for me to look like Jesus, right? How many want to look like Jesus? Amen? How many want to walk like Jesus? Be like Jesus, amen? Well, that's what God's desire is that you would be conformed. It's that you be conformed into the image of His Son. And it's a work of the Holy Spirit through the Word of God. And you know, whether we like it or not, you're in a process. And sometimes the process isn't fun, but the process is necessary and the process produces good fruit. How many here want to be joyful? Amen. How many know that there's a process to get joy? Peace? You want peace in your life? There's a process for peace. How about love? Yes, of course. There's a process that God is taking us through. Jesus walked as prophet, priest, and king. All three. And the body of Christ, the church on the earth, the church, is to be the full expression of who Jesus is in the earth realm. That means you and I corporately are to express the full expression of Jesus in the earth. Is that making sense? That doesn't mean that all of us have all of it. It means that each one of us have a portion. God has given to each one grace, a measure of grace and a measure of faith. But what we need to do is we need to pull all this together, all of our resources together, so that we make up one whole. Amen? We become a body united so that the greater fullness of Christ can be expressed through the body. You understand? It's not like some people think, I've got it all and I don't need to be with God's people or be in church or in fellowship because I just me and Jesus are doing everything. You know what I'm saying? Like He's got some kind of special place with God. How many know we're all special to God? Amen? And all of us are called to a body, to the body of Christ. There are no lone rangers, folks. And there are no self-appointed prophets either. There are people who call themselves or claim to be prophets, but they're in danger if they truly have a prophetic gifting, but they're not under some kind of authority or leadership or accountability. It is a very dangerous thing for any one of us to not be under authority or under accountability of some kind. We are accountable to one another. Would you say amen to that? And we need to love each other enough to speak the truth and love to each other. So as His body on the earth, the church is to function also in these three offices. And last week again was the kingly anointing. Today I want to preach about the prophetic anointing. How many desire to prophesy? Amen. Did we have a word this morning? A prophecy, right? And so the Bible says that we are to earnestly desire that we might prophesy. Earnestly desire the gifts, but especially that we might prophesy. So I'm going to talk about that. Now, there is a difference between the office of a prophet and prophesying. Okay? Just because we prophesy doesn't mean we're prophets in that sense. There is a fivefold gifting. In Ephesians 4:11, it says, He, God Himself, gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers. Amen? So some He's given the responsibility of being a prophetic voice in our time even. There are prophets, there are prophetic voices in our time, and the prophet needs to work together with the pastors, the apostles, the evangelists, amen, and the teachers. And they're not to click together in their own prophetic little grouping. Amen? God places us all in the body, and He strategically places us. We do not have the luxury or the option to choose our assignment. God decides who we are and where we're going to fit and what we're supposed to be doing. And we get into trouble when we decide, well, I'll do this and I'll do that. We have to ask this question, who really is Lord of my life? Am I Lord of my life or is Jesus Lord? If Jesus is Lord, that means I'm receiving my instructions from Him. That means if Jesus says, I want you to be at this church at this time with these people and do these things, then that's what I say yes to. Why? Because He's Lord. If I'm my own Lord, I'll say, well, I don't really like that sister. I don't like that brother. I don't like that preacher. Or I don't like the way they do their songs. And so I'm going to go over here where, hey, they tell me everything I like to hear over here. You know, I've used this illustration before, but how ridiculous it would be if a soldier were to say, you know what, I don't want to be, I've trained to be in field artillery, and that's my assignment, but I think I want to be a foot soldier today. How many know that army would be dysfunctional? How many know that there's dysfunction in the body of Christ for the very same reason? Because people are not listening to God and allowing Jesus to be Lord of their lives. Instead, they're being Lord of their own destinies. And how many know you're never going to reach your destiny as long as you're Lord of your life? You're going to spin your wheels. You're going to be like a fish out of water. You're going to be incomplete and unfulfilled because you're not where you're supposed to be. That doesn't mean that you have a bad day in church that you're not supposed to be there. Amen? How many know that sometimes we're tested? Sometimes bad things happen to good people. Amen? But God promises to work it all together for what? For good. So with the priestly anointing, we're also called to be a priest. We offer spiritual sacrifices to the Lord. We offer thanks. We give praise to God like we're doing this morning. And how many know that needs to be audible with our mouth? Amen, and from our heart. We offer petitions and prayers to God, and we intercede also on behalf of others. That's a priestly office, amen? In short, we are to represent Jesus, amen, to the world, and bring the world to Jesus. Okay, so we have this office of the prophetic now, the prophetic anointing. And both of these giftings, the office of the prophet and prophesying, are dependent upon the Holy Spirit. Would you agree? Amen? This is not something we can do naturally. It has to be an unction from the Holy One. He has to enable us to do these things. Now, again, a prophet, that word prophet is a foreteller in relationship to the fivefold ministries. There's the apostles, the prophets and evangelists, pastors, teachers. So that word prophet actually means an inspired speaker or a foreteller. Now, how many believe that God will give you direction for the future? Amen. Now, we have to be careful because there's a lot of soothsayers and fortune tellers masquerading as prophets of the living God, and they're in the church. So we need to be able to discern what is of God and what is not. There are many Christians that are very gullible because there's no discernment, because they don't have a prayer life and a relationship with Jesus like they should. Therefore, the enemy is evil, very easily duping them into believing lies as though they were true. That's called deception. So now, in the New Testament, prophets foretold future events. This is New Testament. Look at Acts 11:27. We're going to go through a bunch of scriptures this morning. Acts chapter 11, verse 27. And in these days, prophets came from Jerusalem to Antioch. Then one of them, named Agabus, stood up and showed by the Spirit that there was going to be a great famine throughout all the world, which also happened in the days of Claudius Caesar. So according to that prophet, amen, who was a true prophet, it came to pass. Now, another example is sometimes these prophets, they did give personal and predictive prophecies. Now, we have to be careful again, because there are people who want to speak into your life and they want to give you predictive or future prophecies or, you know, things that are supposed to happen or maybe instructions for you. All right. Now, if they're not from God and you listen to this person, it could shipwreck you. And so there are true prophets that will be able to speak into your life and give you instruction for the future. And eventually, as we get into this, I'm going to share with you how we can know the difference, how we can discern these things. And as we stayed many days, Acts 21 and verse 10. And as we stayed many days, a certain prophet named Agabus came down from Judea. And when he had come to us, he took Paul's belt, bound his own hand and feet, and said, "Thus says the Holy Spirit, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man who owns this belt and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles." And we know the story goes on to say that Paul knew that he was still supposed to go to Jerusalem. And that even though the Holy Spirit had thus spoke, he knew that suffering had awaited him there. But he was going to be obedient to the Lord, even if it meant suffering. How many know there's times in our lives when we're going to be called to suffer? Amen? You're not going to be able to escape it. But the good news is God will work it all together for good. Amen? And your reward in heaven will be great if you've been obedient and been faithful. See, sometimes when we have a little owie or a little problem in life, we can get into the complaining mode. And how many know that's not promotion time? Amen? It's time to grow up. Amen? You're not ready to pass the test yet, apparently. So you're going to have to repeat it until you learn. Stop complaining. God is at work in your life. God is preparing you for eternity. God is good. His heart for you is always good. How many know that's true? Amen. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 29, it says, let two or three prophets speak, and let the others judge. So, when a prophet is to speak, there needs to be those who can evaluate what's being said by the Spirit of the Lord through the discernment that God gives to either validate it as, yes, this is a good word, or no, that's not a good word. Amen? Because we get into trouble when we don't want to be accountable for what we're saying. Has anybody been tempted by that before? You know, when I was a new Christian, I was intimidated by older saints. And sometimes I really didn't want them around when I had something to say because I was afraid I might get corrected. Has anybody ever felt that way? There's a few honest people here, praise God. And how many know that maturity says, you know what, I need to submit everything I do before the, amen, before the desk of the Father, and also between the others that are of mature Christian character that have grown and have discernment to be able to say, yes, we confirm that that bears witness with the same spirit we have, that is a word from God. There's safety in that. Otherwise, we can be guilty of being a false prophet. And so prophets are also part of this foundation, as we already, you know, heard that the foundation in Ephesians 2:20 of the church is actually built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Did you know that? The church, the foundation of the church is built upon apostles and prophets. Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Amen. So the Lord is our sure foundation. Amen. But then God, and you notice how it builds from the bottom up. Jesus taught us servant leadership. He didn't call us to rule and to reign over people as, amen, in that sense. He says, if you want to be great in the kingdom, you must become the servant of all. And so the church is built on the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone that holds it all together. All right, understand this, not pastors. And for many years, everything is centered around pastoral ministry and evangelists and teachers. And the prophetic had been shelved for the most part because of a few abuses. Often people will just throw the whole thing out and say, well, we're not going to let anybody prophesy. The Bible says, do not despise prophesying. Amen? Or prophecies. But test everything and hold fast to that which is good. So, prophecy has to be tested. How many know that when Dick Williams came here, he's a true prophet of God? Also, of course, prophets have to receive revelation from God, right? That's what Paul was saying. Even as he was an apostle, he says, by revelation, he was able to make known to me the mystery. As I've already briefly written, this is Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 3. And then in verse 4, he says, by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. How did Paul know the mystery of Christ? How was it revealed to him? Well, by the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. He didn't go to seminary, amen, and learn God in a classroom. He was in the classroom of the Holy Spirit. Now, he had the word, amen, the Torah, and he had the word in him, but he did not know Christ, even though he had all that information. Jesus had to be revealed to him as who he really was. You and I cannot know God except by the Holy Spirit and by the Holy Spirit revealing him to us. Amen. So what is the difference then between Old Testament and New Testament prophets? Old Testament prophets had the duty of bringing God's instructions, warnings, predictions directly to his people. New Testament believers have a relationship with the Lord, don't we? And so we can hear Him speak to us personally. That's the awesome thing today. God said, I'll pour out my Spirit on what? All flesh. We can have a personal relationship with Jesus. We receive the Holy Spirit, and now we can hear God speaking to us personally. Amen? Therefore, prophecy is only confirmation of what we've already heard through our relationship with the Lord. So if you're getting somebody saying, God's telling me to tell you something, well, if you're walking with the Lord and you're hearing His voice, you'll know if that's a true word or not. And unfortunately, some people, they don't do that. They don't walk with Jesus, and they just run here and there and to and fro, looking for all these meetings where the latest, greatest thing is happening. And they're looking for a word. Somebody give me a word. Come on. How many know that the safety is in having a relationship with the Word, Jesus Christ? Amen. And knowing His voice, my sheep hear my voice. And I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. We have a relationship with Jesus, amen? And when the prophetic ministry comes, it simply breathes upon the ember that was there and brings it to light. That's what it's like. It's like the breath of God breathing on the ember that's already in your heart, placed there by Christ. It confirms the Word of God in you. So be careful, because there are many false prophets today, aren't there? The Old Testament prophets, they pronounce warnings and judgments upon people and nations who were disobedient to God. Now listen, in the New Testament, we are living in a time of God's grace. Would you say amen to that? Amen. And so it's for strengthening and encouragement and comfort. 1 Corinthians 14:3 says, but he who prophesies speaks edification, exhortation, and comfort to men. This is those who prophesy. Not necessarily a prophet, but those who are prophesying will speak what? Edification, exhortation, and comfort. Now remember, sometimes exhortation comes in the form of a rebuke, as John the Baptist exhorted the people. You brood of vipers, who has warned you to flee? Come on. There are certain times when a rebuke is in order. Well, I don't want to go to that church because they correct me. Thank God somebody loves you enough, amen, to tell you the truth. I want somebody to correct me if I'm wrong. Amen. I don't want to go to the hell in a deception. Thank God for the truth. If somebody really loves you, they tell you the truth. So there's certain times when folks, when a rebuke is in order. Would you agree? I can back that up with Scripture. How about that? 1 Timothy 5:20. Those who are sinning, listen, rebuke in the presence of all, that the rest also may fear. That means to admonish, convict, convince, or tell a fault, to reprove. 2 Timothy 4:2 says this, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove or convince, rebuke and exhort with all long suffering and teaching. Paul was giving Timothy the charge to say, listen, not only do I want you to comfort the people, to encourage the people, but I want you to give them instruction for the future, and at times you need to rebuke them. Why? Because you don't want people to go astray, amen? You don't want people to be hurt by the devil. How many of us love our children? How many would agree there has to be some punishment at times for our kids, amen? I mean, how many have been disciplined before in your life? I'm not talking about being abused, I'm talking about being disciplined, amen? How many know that God doesn't abuse us? But He does discipline us. Why? Because He loves us. People who love you will tell you the truth. You tell your kids the truth because you love them. If you see Johnny playing out in traffic, you don't just say, be well warmed and fed, Johnny. Be comforted. Come on. You got to reach out there and snatch him, right? The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14:1, pursue love. Pursue love. It doesn't say pursue gifts, but pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. Pursue what? But earnestly desire, right, the gifts of God. How many would agree that sometimes we get that turned around? We're not really, I mean, there's some pretty venomous people that are, you know, operating in gifts. Is that possible? Pursue love. Pursue love, but earnestly desire spiritual gifts. When we say pursue love, what are we actually saying? God is love. Pursue Him. Seek Him who is love. Amen. You see in the New Testament prophetic teams. They went out together as groups. In Acts chapter 13, verse 1, now in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers. Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And verse 2 says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work for which I have called them. What's going on here? There is a prophetic instruction being given. Do you understand, folks, that many of our brothers and sisters in the world today are suffering and even being martyred, being killed for Jesus? And the prophetic word is important because we need to know what God is saying. In many cases, in these nations where they're under threat of being killed, they have got to hear a word from the Lord. If God says, don't go to Asia, don't go to Asia. You see, we can have a lot of ideas of what we think we should do with our lives, but is Jesus Lord? If He's Lord, then we're willing to say, God, whatever You want to do with my life, that's what I want to do. I'm willing to lay down my agenda. I'm willing to lay down my dreams and my goals that I might get with You and know what Your destiny is for me. How many know that God has something better than what we could give ourselves? As a matter of fact, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world but lose his soul? And in Acts chapter 11, verse 27, it says, in these days prophets came from Jerusalem to Antioch. 1 Corinthians 14, 29, let two or three prophets speak and let the others judge. So when we're hearing a word and a message, you see God brought them together with apostles and prophets, and they were keeping each other accountable to the word that was being spoken and shared. How many would agree there's safety in numbers? There's a proverb that says, in the multitude of counseling, there is safety. If I'm going to make especially a major decision, I'm going to seek counsel. I'm going to have others pray with me and say, hey, would you pray? Because I want to make sure that God has given me, amen, or that I'm understanding God correctly. And if there's others that are praying and we're praying together for the same thing, how many know that God wants to reveal His will to you? God wants you to know what He expects. So once again, in the New Testament, as opposed to the Old Testament prophet often was by themselves. And it was not a fun occupation. You read the life of Ezekiel and, you know, and Jeremiah and these guys and Elijah. And man, those guys went through some tough stuff, you know. And they were often by themselves. And God would call a prophet. He would speak to them because under the Old Testament, God would only anoint prophets, priests, and kings. It wasn't that He had poured out His Spirit on all flesh, but only certain individuals were anointed. And so God would anoint prophets to speak to the people on His behalf. Today in the New Testament, we're all able, if we will seek it, to prophesy. Amen? But that does not mean that we're all prophets. And so, as with other spiritual gifts, it's not to be a standalone ministry. Rather, it is incomplete and without the added value of other gifts in the body of Christ. So, the prophetic gift is not a standalone gift. And neither is any other gift. That's why we're called to a body. You need the balance. You need someone else to be able to bring balance into your life. We did a teaching, and it was about 27 weeks on the gifts of the Spirit. And maybe sometime again in the future, we're going to bring it out and go through. And if anybody's really interested in really getting into the nitty-gritty of all the gifts that are mentioned in the Bible and how you have been gifted so you can identify what your gifts are and how God has gifted you, I'd encourage you to come. We usually do it on a Wednesday night. And there's a lot of teaching that goes on, by the way, on Wednesday night. I want to encourage you to please come out. If you're the body of Christ, God expects His body to be together as much as possible. It gets quiet when I say that. I don't know why. But so, 1 Corinthians 12:12 says, "For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ." So we're not divided. We're not lone rangers. We're gifted differently for a reason, so that we would need each other and we'd have to pull together, amen, to get the revelation of the full expression of Jesus. How many can say amen to that? How many want to be a part of that? In order to be a part of that, you need to be together with God's people. You need to be in fellowship. You need to be instructed, amen? And then you also need to instruct one another. Share your gift with somebody else. What is it that God has given you? How many know that there's going to be an accountability someday of those gifts that God has given you and me? Have we been faithful with what we've been given? Have we invested, if you will, His divine money into the harvest? We're not talking about necessarily the dollar bill. We're talking about the investment or the gold of God's precious gift to us, the gifts of His Spirit, for the benefit of the body, amen, to edify and build the body of Christ so that it will become strong and beautiful and healthy, amen, and vibrant and effective in advancing the kingdom of God in the earth. How many know that that's what God is doing with us? God is building us. God is positioning us. God is creating in us His character, getting us ready. So no one has all the revelation. I've run into some people who they think that they have all the revelation. And you can't even have a conversation with them because they're always right and you're always wrong. They've always just got a little bit more than you, or a little bit better than you, a little bit smarter than you, a little bit more knowledgeable than you. You know what I'm talking about? So they're puffed up in pride. And God can't use a proud person. All of us have to examine ourselves. Would you be honest enough today to say that, you know, there's areas of pride in my life? You find that out as soon as somebody offends you, right? A proud man will rise up. Oh, yeah. We'll take this outside. A humble man will say, no big deal. Not going there. I'm not going to let you steal my joy. I'm not going to let you dictate, you know, the environment in my heart. I'm going to trust in the Lord. I'm going to lean on His grace. I'm not going to trust in my ability. I'm going to look at God and His ability. How many know that's how it works? When we're weak, He's strong. When we're selfless, then He can rule in us. He can't rule in us if we're full of ourselves. Amen? He can't work through us if we're just all about us, if it's all about us. Isn't that what it's about? And God says, I want you to love. He didn't say, come here and expect to be loved. He says, you come here and you be love, amen, and express my love to others. In 1 Corinthians 14:29, in verse 30, it says, "But if anything is revealed to another who sits by, let the first keep silent. For all you can all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be encouraged. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets." Now, sometimes, you know, when you use this, people get upset with you because there are people who just think that, I couldn't help myself. God told me to say this and I'm going to say it. Have you ever heard that one? And sometimes people will speak out of turn. It may even be a word from the Lord, but there's the right time and the right place. Amen for that word. And sometimes it's not a word from the Lord at all. And that's why we're to judge the words that are spoken. But the Bible says clearly that the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. In other words, I've been given a thing called self-control. Amen? If I have a word, you know, I can hold that word and say, God, you decide. You know, I may be boiling up inside. I may be like Jeremiah, just ready to explode. But God, when the time is right, there's times when God gives me something, but I can't bring it out at that time. There's things that go on, several things at a time sometimes, and I just kind of, I may jot it down or write it down, and but it's for a later time. I even have some sermons sometimes that I put together that aren't for now, and they're just kind of sitting there. But when God says now, then we go with it. How many know that a word in season is really good? If you're speaking a timely word, that means it's in season, it's at the right time, in the right place, the right context, that it will produce life and those who hear it. So again, you know, folks, we need the gift of discernment. We need to pray that God would give us discernment. What is discernment? It's to be able to discern between what is right and wrong, what is good and what is evil, what is of God and what is not of God. There is some crazy stuff going on in the church today, man. Just absolutely bizarre stuff that's being passed around in the church today, you know. And we have to ask the question, do these people even know Jesus, or are they operating under a different Jesus altogether? I have to take a look at this book and say, does it look like the Jesus in this book? Come on. Does it look like the apostles and the prophets of this book? If it doesn't, we have to question it, amen? It's probably not of God. People who prophesy need to be in a context where there's somebody that has wisdom, maturity, leadership, and discernment, so that what they have to give is going to be brought under, you know, even sometimes it's okay, folks, even for you to scrutinize what I say. Amen? And that's why I try to just stick to the word. Amen? And a lot of times I am speaking the word, but I'm just putting it in a little different package. Jesus did that. Jesus spoke to people in parables. He was the word. Amen? But he spoke in a way that they could understand. We need to pray and say, God, help me to speak the language of the audience that I'm addressing. When you want to witness to somebody, say, Lord, help me to be able to speak their language so I can reach them. God gives wisdom. God gives the ability. Now, how many know that most cults have prophets? The Jehovah Witnesses have prophets. The Mormons have prophets. They're cults. And they discourage their followers from questioning anything. They're not allowed to question the prophet. Oh, the prophet hears directly from God. They're not to judge anything that the prophet says. They're taught to believe that the prophet alone is supposed to be the source of any new revelation. There are a lot of groups out there, a lot of cults out there today, that everything that their prophet says is what they do. They don't question it. That's exactly what the enemy wants. He wants us to be yes people. Amen? And not question anything. If something is said that causes you to question, it may mean that God will later reveal it to you, or it may be that maybe it's not even correct. And the Spirit of God is warning you not to accept that. See, a lot of times people are violating their own conscience because they don't want to be the oddball. We are social creatures. We like being, most of us, like being together with people, other people. I think it's healthy. We're designed that way, to be with other people. Would you agree? And so naturally, man likes to be with crowds, likes to be with the congregation and things that are going on in the world. You know, you can sit in the movie theater and you can be in a crowd. You may not know anybody there, but you're in the crowd. We're social creatures. And if you go out on the street where somebody's protesting something and somebody decides to start a riot, it's called a crowd mentality takeover, right? And all of a sudden you got people that would never do some of the stuff they're doing it. Amen. They're trashing stuff, and they're, you know, and they go out and interview people and say, well, why are you out here? Well, everybody else is out here and didn't have anything better to do, or You'd be surprised how many people don't really know even what the deal is. But the crowd has been incited. The crowd has been stirred up, you know, because naturally man is a social creature. We have to be discerning. We have to say, you know what? If this is not of God, I'm having nothing to do with it. As believers, we need to be willing to stand alone and say, you know what? I don't care what the majority is doing. If they're not doing the right thing, if they pass legislation that is against the Word of God, I'm not going there. I'm not going to do it. Why? There's a higher law. It's called the Word of God. Sometimes we want to conform to the crowd because we don't want to be the oddball. And maybe it's because of fear of persecution, fear of rejection. How many know that God wants to lift you up above that? God has not called us to be chickens, amen, waddling around in the barnyard, doing what everybody else does. I've shared this many times, but we used to have ducks. And you know, one duck would do something stupid, the rest of the ducks would follow suit. They just follow each other. And we're not ducks. We're called to be eagles. We're supposed to rise up and on wings of eagles. We're to worship God in the Spirit. And we're supposed to look at things from heaven's perspective. If it's not in line with heaven's perspective, it's not for me. Folks, I'd rather stand alone and be right with God than conform to some crowd. Amen? And get the acceptance of man. There's times when you're going to be called to stand alone. But if you look around in this room today, there's your brothers and your sisters. We're together. Amen. We're rooting for you. We're with you. We're for you. Hallelujah. You have a problem. You need somebody to talk to. Call. You need prayer. Call. Amen. Don't wait until you're all the way down in the ditch. Pray. Amen. Call somebody. Say, man, I'm struggling right now. Would you pray with me? It's all right. How many know we need each other? No lone rangers, right? See, New Testament prophets receive partial revelation. Not incorrect information. Not incorrect information, but partial revelation. I'm going to say it again. New Testament prophets receive partial information, but not incorrect information. You see, people will quote, you know, 1 Corinthians 13:9, where it says, "For we know in part, and we prophesy in part," as being justification for giving incorrect words. Have you ever heard that? That's called twisting the scripture to say what you wanted to say, to justify yourself. Instead, let God be the one who decides and justifies. Amen? Okay, so, in other words, the prophetic gift by itself is incomplete. We need, amen, the mouth of two or three witnesses. We need confirmation from others. Amen, that yes, that bears witness with the Spirit of the Lord that we're receiving. That is a true word from the Lord. We're in agreement on this word. And so we need to be in an environment of humility and cooperation as a body and in grace because we're all vulnerable, amen, to deception. I want to give you a few abuses of the prophetic gifting, okay? Number one, believing that they have a hotline to God that bypasses the input of leadership. I run into them all over town. I'm a prophet of God. I'm prophet so-and-so. Oh, yeah? Well, where do you hang out? Who are you accountable to? What body are you connected to? Oh, God has me going to different churches and correcting the churches and straightening them out and not. Number two, this is another abuse, resisting having their prophetic words evaluated. We call them parking lot prophets or bathroom prophets. They'll pull you aside and they'll give you the word, but they don't want anybody else to know what you're saying. Well, we had some here before. They're always whispering in the ear. Number three, reacting negatively when prophetic words are not acted upon. Here's where the Jezebel spirit or the control spirit comes in, right? That God told me to tell you to do this. And why aren't you doing it? And they get upset because you're not listening to them. Uh-oh. How about this one? Reacting negatively when they receive feedback that disagrees with their viewpoint. There's the pride thing. In other words, if I heard it, it's got to be God. And if you disagree, you're disagreeing with God. Where's the humility in that? Where's the submission to others and God's amen, discerning of spirits? And we need to say, Lord, if this is of you, give me confirmation. Submit it to others. Bring it before spiritual authorities. Amen. Those who are of mature Christian character in the body. Now, what's the fruit of the New Testament prophetic ministry? Well, it's to build up the church, amen, the body of Christ. And it's never, hear this, never designed to promote the agenda of the prophet. There are people that are going around prophesying over people. Why? Because they have an agenda to get noticed, because they want to be famous or they want some kind of high-profile ministry so that people will worship them in a sense. Oh, yes. It's happening all over the place. It's never to be used to promote the prophet's own agenda. So as Paul outlined in the Ephesians, again, this prophetic gift is to equip the body. And this also includes encouraging and empowering Christians to hear from God. So someone who is a true prophet or has a prophetic gifting is also able to help others understand how to hear from God. Amen? So that's a good thing. Now, several things prophets need to avoid. Number one, isolation or separation from the church community. I already talked about that. Two, believing that they report directly to God only and are commissioned and trained only by God. Three, lack of accountability. Not coming under any leadership. And associating only with other prophets. Do you understand, folks, this happens. There are churches that are almost exclusively prophets. You have apostolic churches. You have churches that focus on pastoral, churches that focus on evangelism. How many know that all of these are supposed to be working together in one body? We'll say, well, they didn't accept my gift there, so I'm going to go over here and hang out with the other prophets or the people with prophetic giftings. And they do their own little thing. And then they snub their nose at everybody else and belittle every other ministry. That they somehow have the superior, you know, ministry, and that they're closer to God than anybody else. And if you really want to know what God is saying, you got to come to us. How many know that's what a cult does? There are cults, folks. There are cults in town here. I said it. How many believe that God wants us all to prophesy? How many God wants us to pursue love, but earnestly desire the gifts of the Spirit? Amen. So therefore, if we are asking for these things, whenever we exercise a gift, we must proceed with caution and humility. Understanding that the day is coming when every idle man, that word that men shall speak, they shall give account of in the day of judgment. That's what Jesus said. Every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account of in the day of judgment. Do you understand that our words hold the power of life and death? Wow. This is heavy stuff. But I'm just telling you what Jesus said. I want to be a true man of God. I want to be a true prophet of the Lord. Amen? I want to be his mouthpiece. But I understand, folks, that what I'm telling you, I'm going to give an account of. And I tell you what, I fear God more than I do you. Actually, I'm not afraid of you. I love you. You know, if you love people, there's no fear in that. That's why he said, love your enemies. If you're loving your enemies, you're not afraid of them. If you're loving your enemies, you're not afraid of them. Perfect love casts out all fear. Fear has torment. But if we move in the love of God, we pursue the love of God, we pursue the very person of our Lord, amen? A relationship with Jesus. And then we can say, Lord, I want to be a fuller expression of you in the earth. I want to make you known. I want to reveal the fact that you are risen from the dead. Amen? then we can join ourselves together in the spirit of cooperation as a body, amen, and work together to reach the lost. Romans 14:19. Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace, and the things by which we one may edify another or build up another. God wants us to pursue the things which make for peace and the things by which one may edify or build up one another. In other words, God says, I don't want you going around tearing each other apart, backbiting, gossiping, criticizing. I want you to build one another. Seek those things which make for peace. Amen. Pursue peace. And then finally, 1 Thessalonians 5:21. I'm going to finish with this. Are you all ready? Test all things. Hold fast what is good. So whatever it is, whatever expression it is, if it's a prophetic expression, test it. Test it by the word, amen, and by the discernment of the Spirit. Get with others. Have others confirm it. Amen. And then hold fast to it. If you know it's a word from God, don't let it go. Hold fast to it. God is speaking to us. God is for you. He's not against you. Father, thank you for your word today. Bless it to our hearts and our minds, Lord. Make us wise unto salvation. Prepare us for your coming, that we'll be preserved in that day, blameless, our body, soul, and spirit before you. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In all of our lives, in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you all. God bless you.